Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's popping, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Vitamin C's with me, your boy Adam Taylor. As usual, I'm joined by my homie, my compadre, my co-host in crime, Mr. Tim Shields. And moving forwards, we're going to have a third co-host, one of our good friends. I call him the energy guy because Wayne just comes in hot every single time. One of my favorite people to podcast with, joining us every episode moving forward, apart from when he's traveling to cover the Niners, Mr. Wayne Breezy. What's popping, Wayne?
What's going on, man? I got energy because I was looking at the worksheets and I'm like, oh, I'm about to shoot all of these down. Like, I can't wait. Let's get started. Let's go.
What worksheets? The show sheet that we sent over.
Yeah, man. So you started talking about Grant and I'm like, I know he's not requesting that amount of money. I mean, I know he is, but come on, man. We got to have we need to sit Grant Williams down and have a gentleman conversation.
This is an intervention.
Right. Which is funny because like years ago, remember I kept saying, listen, we got to make sure Grant Hill's a part of this team. It was because of his role and he played it well. And he's still doing that. That's what he's doing well. He's doing his role, but he wants to get paid. I'm not knocking him for getting paid. It's just probably not going to be with the Celtics.
Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, I remember going backwards and forwards with you on Grant, and now I'm all the way on the other side where I'm defending Grant against people.
I hear you, bro.
So it's like, yo, but like, so full disclosure, we're talking about like Grant's sophomore season when he just had the worst season of his career. He's been played out of position.
I saw it. I had the DC vision.
We're calling him Ben Simmons.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, we were. We were calling him short Ben Simmons. It was a hard time. It was a hard time. Right. So we fast forward to now, as everybody knows, Grant Williams is a restricted free agent at the end of the season, correcting myself there. The Celtics can match whatever offer sheet comes in. But according to a report from Mark Stein yesterday, and in my opinion, not many people come more credible than Mark Stein, right? Okay. Like him, his podcast with Chris Haynes, like this dude's plugged in. So the report reads, to the Celtics, to no one's surprise, did not trade Grant Williams. We're going to fast forward through that bit. Yet rumbles persist that various teams are monitoring the situation and are curious about Williams' future. Williams is poised to become a restricted free agent and is said to be seeking a contract in the Keldon Johnson San Antonio $20 million a year range. No. So $20 million a year is like, right. Okay. So look at it like this, yeah. When Grant didn't sign an extension with the Celtics, the reporting came out from Michael Scotto, I think that's how you say his name, that the Celtics wanted to offer him 12.5. Grant wanted around about 14. Mm-hmm. Since then, I've heard reports, right, it was 14, now it's 16. Then it went from 16 to 18. Now we're at 20. By the end of the season, we're going to be talking about like Grant wants to max.
24 million.
Like, yeah. What are we talking about here? How can you keep adding 2 million on every report, dude? Like, what is it you're trying to buy? I think 20 million is far too high. I set a bar for myself personally. Like, if I was in the front office with how he's played this year, how his shot's been sustainable from last season, one of the main things that I said during the offseason was, yo, if I'm going to pay Grant, ideally I'd like to see that shooting kind of improvement from last year stick around this season, because the last thing you want to do is pay him and then he turns into Duncan Robinson, right? So you wait until the end of this season. Now you've seen that 3-point shot's legit because you've got a 2-year sample size. I'm going to go as high as 18, and I feel like that's pushing it. Like, I'm overpaying at 18. But I'm keeping the core together. His versatility defensively made sense. 20 now. So if someone wants to offer him 20, cool. But the Celtics should not match that.
Yeah, I agree.
Seems like you're talking on mute.
I don't know. I hit mute, and then I thought I hit unmute, and then I hit mute again, apparently. 20 million's a lot. 20 million's a lot for anybody. My counterpoint to that is you can't sign anyone else with that money. And that's the problem that the Celtics are in, right? Like, you don't have any... It's not like you're operating with cap space and you're just signing them into cap space. This okay. is a restricted free agent that you're able to retain for whatever cap hit it comes in at. Do I think you should be paid $20 million? Absolutely not. It's just, if a team comes out and operates like that and they give him that offer, where do you go from there? Does it turn into a sign-and-trade situation? Do you try and turn it into a trade exception, or do you try and get something of value in return on a sign and trade? It's just really, really tricky. And I do think it's funny that the number keeps growing, even though I don't think that Grant's play has been one, consistent, or two, like, been improving gradually to like make it worthy of that raise, man. Like, that's crazy amount of money to be asking. And I don't think he's there. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, and that, you use the word consistent. I feel like, you get one game with Grant, you like, yo, if he does this every game, and I'm not talking about hitting 10 three-pointers. I'm just talking about his consistent play. You know what I'm saying? Taking the right shots, not being afraid, playing the crazy defense, being energy, doing all the stuff he has to do. If he continues to do that consistently, then maybe you could talk about that inflating number a little bit. But when you go from that type of a game to a game where he becomes like insignificant, he's scared to shoot the ball, he's passing the ball late. And I'm not trying to talk about his deficiencies. It's just like you're getting two versions of Grant Hill every night. It's a different version. You don't know which one you're going to get. So the consistency is the key. And when I'm looking at his stats and I'm looking at his numbers and I'm like, well, I mean, he's improved all across the board, but it's not drastic. It's not like a crazy improvement. And that's because he's probably not getting a lot of the minutes. And that's another thing. You're going to pay this dude $20 million a year, or 20 plus million a year, or whatnot. And he's giving you what, 24, 25 minutes a game? I don't know. I can't do it. I can't do it with Grant. I love Grant. I think Grant needs to be a Celtic. He needs to figure out a way. That's why I said we need to sit down and have a conversation. Listen, you want to be with this team. Look at the youth on this team and look where this team is going to be. Don't think about this. Think about dynasty. That's what he should be thinking. And then his money will come. It'll come. But I don't know. His agents want him to get paid because his agents want to get paid. I get it. It's business.
I think that any goodwill that was there between like Grant and the front office probably took a huge slap once there was no deal made, right? Because they always say that the rookie extension is kind of the team showing that they have faith in you. They're happy with how you've developed. But I think that with Grant, it was the development came so late, right? Like, he had a good first season, but then like stunk the place out during his sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you do want to see consistency there. So are we really going to pay you more than 12.5 a year based off 1 year of good 3-point shooting when you struggled out of the gates? You were an absolute mess through your second year. And now, obviously, he was like, no, I know I'm that guy. I know I can play the role. I want to be paid like that. They're like, we want to see more. This is how I envision the conversation going. Did that loyalty take a hit? Does Grant feel some way where he wants to be elsewhere? I mean, the team I've kind of said that makes the most sense for me is is Detroit, like, now, does that change now James Wiseman's there, or does having Grant there kind of allow James Wiseman to develop a bit slower anyway, right? Because Grant's going to be at that four spot. He's defensively sound. He can switch over to guard fives if James Wiseman's caught out of position. Detroit just make a whole lot of sense for me in terms of a team that would want to go after him. And they could afford it in terms of cap space. Would they do a sign-in trade? Would they hard cap themselves? I don't know. But for me, it's like there are going to be teams out there that are going to push Boston's limits and going to be like, because then you're screwing with Boston's cap, right, too. And Boston have to be like, it's not just this year we need to worry about.
Exactly.
Next year, we got Jaylen Brown hitting free agency as an unrestricted free agent, unless he becomes Supermax eligible this year. The face injury. He missed time because of that foot. It was like an abductor strain in his groin. So he missed time off the abductor strain. Now he's missing time off the facial injury. All of these things add up when you're trying to make an All-NBA team, right? Because that's how he's going to become Supermax eligible at this point. So you have to plan for that too. You know what I'm saying? And the Celtics did a good move by extending Horford, bringing that salary down to a far more manageable way. But they're going to be a tax team. Now, I don't know whether Grant's going to stick around. Personally, I think that you can't replace his level of versatility with a mid-level exception. It's just not going to happen. If you lose him, you're a worse team because of it. So you do everything you can to keep him, but there's got to be a line in the sand somewhere.
But that's the question, though. Like, how much worse? Like, I don't see how the Celtics would be that much worse. I like the versatility that he brings. I like that you're going to possibly get the three-point shooting from him. But how much worse would the Celtics be? They just picked up another big man. He clearly has no problems. He is not afraid to shoot the three. So you're getting that. I know it's two different positions, but they can move Muscala around as well. So, like, how much worse will they really be if, you know...
I think it comes on the defensive end, though, right? Like, offensively, you can find shooters that can shoot 40%. There's a bunch of them because their value diminishes in the playoffs, so teams are happy to just kind of swap these guys out. Yeah. It's the defensive end of the floor where he's kind of really, I wouldn't say irreplaceable, but tough to replace, right? Because then now you need to bring in two players to do what Grant was doing as one. You need to bring in a defensive wing that's a stopper that can slide down to a three or slide up to a five.
That can shoot.
And then you need somebody that can shoot. Now that's two roster spots to fill what Grant was doing in one. I'm not saying he's irreplaceable. I'm just saying it's tough to do when that $20 million you could pay Grant doesn't exist in the free agent market because you're already over the tax.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the biggest thing. I think with Grant Williams, too, one thing that's been disappointing this year, unrelated to the stat sheet, is just the overall complaining to the refs. Like, I just think it's a bad look, considering the role that he plays in this team. Like, you're in a contract year. I think that stuff is the detractor to the team, and I think it changes the way that referees call the games for the Celtics. Like, I think it's just – that's just a personal opinion, but – I don't know. It's just something that I've noticed, and just the overall energy and the attitude. It's like, look, people complain when Jason Tatum does it. And like, Jason Tatum is a superstar franchise leader, like face of the franchise. But Grant Williams does that stuff. It's like, okay, come on, Grant, like settle down, like go ahead and just like take a breather, man. Like, you don't need to be like this. There's no reason for you to do this. It's not going to get you anywhere,
in England.
Man.
Do you know how often I see highlights of soccer where there's like the referee blows a whistle and it's not one guy, it's like 11 just surrounding this dude, like proper bullying him, like chewing him out, dude. And that's like 4, 5, 6, 7 times a game. So when everybody's like, man, I don't want Grant moaning to the refs and chewing at the refs, I'm like, yo, it's one guy, man, I'm fine with that. Like, that is a one-on-one. It's fine. Like, I don't know, it's not because he needs to get back on defense and whatnot. But, dude, what I'm used to when I'm seeing an entire, like, soccer team be like, what? No. And then everyone surrounding this dude, you're like, this guy must be scared for his life right now. Like, yeah, if Grant wants to chew a guy out. Yeah, dude.
That's funny. I don't think I have a problem with him complaining to the refs, but it does take away from him getting back on defense. But the refs need to be officials and call the fouls that are fouls. And that's the issue.
It's consistency, really, right?
It's consistency once again.
Yeah.
You're right, though. Right. Like, if you called it last week and now you're not calling it this week, how am I meant to know?
We just talked about consistency. So if you're not getting consistency from the NBA officials, how are the players supposed to be consistent? And then when they react differently to something, and you know what, Tim, to your defense, I understand where you're coming from. I don't think that's his mindset. I don't think he can just brush the dirt off his shoulders and keep it moving, because it's messing with him psychologically, because he expends a lot of energy when he's out there. That's what you said. That's, you can't replace that. You can't replace his energy. You can't replace his grit. And then you can't replace his defense. You can't replace his offense. You're right. He's somewhat irreplaceable.
He's vital. He's vital.
I like that word.
That's the right word. That's the right word. He's the vital part. Just like Wayne, man, we haven't had you on the show since we stopped doing that one together back in the day.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to replace you, man. You're the new Grant Williams, bro.
Hey, man. That's real. I'm not asking MVP, bro. I just want to be.
We don't have 20 million. I'm sorry.
Not yet. Not yet.
I'm in my mindset. I play my role. I'm not going to go outside the means of my role. Now, if you ask me to do something different, then I'll step it up, you know?
So talking about consistency, I want to move on. I want to look at... Oh, I dropped a pen. Talking about consistency, I want to move on. I want to talk about some inconsistency from Peyton Pritchard in terms of... We hear that he goes on Evan Turner's podcast, starts talking about, I want a bigger role. You know, he's like, yeah, I want a bigger role on the team where, you know, and he just wants to play, dude. That's basically what he was saying. Could he have worded it a bit better? Maybe. But, you know, coming up to the trade deadline, I felt like it was his way of, like, sending a message, like putting a little bit of pressure on that front office. Then he doesn't get traded and he speaks to Gary Washburn. Like, you know, I was kind of hoping to be traded. I was expecting it. And we know that Brad, from all the reports that have come out since, that Brad kind of offered him and Gallinari in a package for Jakob Poeltl, but that didn't work out. He ended up going over to Toronto. So now, you know, the Celtics win a game. Peyton Pritchard plays well. Peyton Pritchard speaks to the media. I'm a professional at the end of the day. I'm going to work, and any minute I'm going to play because I love basketball. This whole thing about what everybody's been saying, you know, I love this city, love the organization, love the teammates. This is one of the best. I'm here and I do love it here. I'm committed. I want to help this team in any way to win the championship. So that's what he's saying now, right? That's but like last week, though, you wanted out, bro.
That's bullshit. Like, yo, if you want to play basketball, then shut the freak up and just play basketball. Yo, you P, you got a role, right? You know what your role is, dog. It is what it is. It's like, You wait your turn till your contract's out, then you go ahead and you go do your thing. But don't sit here and say certain stuff and put certain things out there in the universe and then feel some type of way when people take it and do what their job is. They're going to take it and run with it, right? And so it does sound like he's being a bit of a brat at the end of the day. And I'm like, dude, we're trying to win a championship with the best team in the NBA. You're playing a vital role, right? You have a vital position piece, right? And all of a sudden you just complaining that you want more playing time and you want a bigger role and this is that and the third. Dude, that's cool, but you do that shit in the off season. You don't do it in the middle of the season when your team's at first place, trying to stay at first place, and then they got to deal with all the injuries and all that stuff that's coming about. I just feel like he's dead wrong, and I can see the team not trading him to make him suffer. I think that's kind of like what's going down. And he's still got to play his role.
You see, go ahead, Tim. Go ahead.
No, go.
So I want to play devil's advocate here. And I'm playing devil's advocate because I do fall on the side of the conversation, I'm going to say. So I believe what I'm saying here. First of all, I think he has the right to ask to be moved because it's his career, right? Like, yo, if you want to play and, you know, you'd put all the work in to get here, if you want to be moved, you have the right to kind of say it. But that conversation should happen behind the scenes, right? I think that you've got the right to go and ask to be moved. You've got the right to be asked to be shot, as we'll call it. But again, I just don't think you need to do that publicly.
Okay.
I think if you're asked about it, you can reply tactfully and kind of imply without saying. I also think that, you know, this is the lowest minutes per game average of Pritchard's career since coming into the league. Mm. He had to kind of stomach playing behind Dennis Schroeder last season. Dennis Schroeder gets moved. Pritchard plays in a bigger role. And he's an important piece of the rotation all the way through to the NBA Finals. Everyone knows what happened against the Warriors. The Celtics go out to bring in Malcolm Brogdon. All of a sudden, Pritchard's right down at the bottom of that ladder again. And those minutes, he's playing now because Smart's out, because Brogdon's missing time, or, you know, maybe Derek White needs a rest or whatever it is. His minutes are coming because other guys are out. He's right at the back of that, like, that rotation. So you want out, fine, I get it, I'm down. But don't be vocal about wanting to leave and then be like, yo, no, I'm happy here, really. You know, I didn't get what I wanted, so I'm cool. Like, if you handle it quietly, you don't have to answer these questions in the first place, right? But he's young, he's new to the league. This is probably the first time he's had any, like, this much media attention since he entered the NBA, because he, you know, you need something to talk about that's a little bit negative. And when a team's as good as Boston and as well run, the biggest negative you've got is, well, Peyton Pritchard's not playing enough. So he's kind of like in a position where he's being spoke about without really doing anything wrong to get spoke about. And then over time, he's put himself in a position where now he has said some dumb shit. You know what I mean?
They put a microphone in front of him. They asked him, like, how he's feeling about stuff. And he's a victim of the situation. I think Boston going out and getting Brogdon after already getting White, you know, you've got three really capable guards ahead of him. And granted, Derek White's been starting in a shooting guard spot because of when Rob was hurt. But I still don't even really know what the starting lineup's going to look like when everyone's fully healthy, because I think they've had one game where you've seen all of the regular starters with the double bigs with Allen Rob on the floor healthy and playing at the same time. So, like, the Celtics have got some stuff to figure out there. And I think that's sort of for Pritchard, as you said, Adam, like, when people are hurt, he's getting time. I think when he's playing his best and his stroke is there, it's fantastic. And he's been playing really solidly as of late. But if you want a bigger role, man, you shouldn't have said any of this stuff. Like, if you said it on the podcast, okay, fine. But then you've got, like, an article from Jay King. You've got an article from Gary Washburn. Like, there was at least, like, two or three or four more articles that came out basically saying, oh, you know what? I'm not happy here. I want, like, a bigger role. Like, I know I can play basketball. Like, I love basketball. I want to contribute to winning. And it's like, you are on the best team in the NBA right now. You just came off an NBA Finals appearance, the first for the team since 2010. So what are we doing here, man? Like, you are this close again to go to a title, and you can go ahead and win a ring and then figure out what you're going to do in the offseason. Like, don't worry about it now, because ultimately at the end of the day, it's just a distraction. I get that he's venting about not getting a bigger role, but, like, don't let this distract you from what the, like, major goal is here. I get wanting to play, but, like, it seems like an unnecessary distraction to what's already been, like, a really good season. So I just don't get why. I don't get why he, like, I feel like someone should have been in his ear to tell him to not do that.
Isn't that what the PR team's for, bro?
I know, but, like, his agent should have been like, hey, like, just don't do that. Like, let me work in the back. And instead of, like, well, Gary wants to talk to me. It's like, of course he's going to talk to Gary.
He messed up on the podcast. That's where it started. And regardless, people listen to the Evan Turner podcast. So people think that podcasts don't do anything. Now, people listen because they're entertaining and they're informational, and people are going to listen. And so once people listen, here comes the interviews. And now he's going to have to answer those questions with the lights and his, you know, cameras and all that stuff in his face. And unfortunately, like you said, he's young. But listen, that's not an excuse. Dude, like, here's the thing. I want a bigger role. I want to get paid more money. I want to do all these things in life too, but you know what? I got a job to do. I'm going to do my job the best way I can, but I'll talk to my wife about it, you know, when I'm not at work. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to, there's certain times to say that type of stuff. And I'm with Tim. It's a bigger picture. Imagine getting a ring, playing a role, being free, and then you can go make as much money if somebody's willing to take that chance on you. Just imagine, like, now you have a ring and now you have the experience. And I think for the Celtics, the reason why he's pushed down is because they realize that in order to beat this team, they need this module. In order to beat this team, they need this module. So now the Celtics look like they could be really great defensively when they want to. They could push a button, right? When they don't turn over the ball, they look highly efficient on offense, right? When they're shooting, there's not a better team in the NBA. I didn't even know the Celtics can shoot like they can shoot, because we're so used to them not shooting threes. Now they're hitting their threes. When they're missing, though, that's when it becomes a problem. But I'm just saying, Pritchard,
you just got to put your big boy pants on, little guy, and just go out there and do what you do great. Play basketball. Not talk.
I was going to say, I do like Pritchard. I think he could. And like, I would like to see him on a team where he gets a consistent role, because I think he could help. But for now, I do think he kind of navigated that situation poorly. And now it's just kind of time to just, you know, play that role. Like, you're a role player. The whole job description's in the first word. Role, you know, player. What I'm saying? You're, yeah. The first two words, yeah.
It's man. Like, you see how it is what it is. If you want to be more than a role player in the NBA, then you got to do more, you know? And when you get the opportunity to do it, do it. So my thing for him is take this opportunity. Take this opportunity and show the Celtics that this is why you want that role. And that's what you got to do. Like, you know, instead of talking about it, just be about it.
Just be about it. I like that. I like that. That's we're going to move on because I think we can leave that right there. We got Mike Muscala up next. How's everybody feeling about Mike Muscala? He's had a good 2-game start. Defensively, I feel like there's a very specific role for him. I think if you ask him to become physical with a guy, he's going to get dislodged quite easily. I think he could get taken off the dribble if he's trying to close out to wing shooters or to corner guys. But as a drop defender that's playing, like, I like to call it playing angles, right? And Al Horford's fantastic at this. You know, he's old now. He's never really been an athletic guy. He's always been very good at cutting off angles and forcing guys into uncomfortable spots on the floor. And he's kind of just like Jedi mind tricking them into going where he wants them to go, because he's just eating the space where they're trying to get to. I think Muscala's kind of similar there. The 3-point shooting has been fantastic. He's been confident in that shot. He's letting them fly. He's go screening well. He's slipping screens well. I think he just fits everything you wanted from that additional big in terms of a floor spacer that can defend a little bit. I think he's a little bit more mobile than Luke Kornet. The different in terms of Luke Kornet can protect the rim. Muscala's more of a, as I say, a positional slash team defender. I like him. I think he's a good pickup. He's obviously not Jakob Poeltl, but you don't have floor spacing with Jakob Poeltl. So, you know, it's just different apples to oranges right there. I'm damn, but it's only been 2 games, right? Like, I'm not going to claim that I've seen Muscala play a bunch. I haven't been going out of my way to watch a lot of Oklahoma City. I've watched a lot of Jar. Like, you know, I'll pull 100 Jar Morant possessions before Instat went and screwed me over, ripped me off for a few K. I'm not happy about it.
So you got to plug that.
Yeah, I'm fuming, dude. Like, a couple of grand, man. And like, now, like, my whole scouting process is gone. So it's not, I can't, like, I don't even know how I'm meant to scout players anymore, because they've just screwed me that bad. So, like, but before they screwed me, yeah, dude, I was pulling 100 clips of Shy, perfectly fine. But I weren't going out my way to watch Tim Mike Muscala.
I didn't even know he was on our radar. I knew we needed a big, but I had other bigs in mind. Like, was it Mobamba? I thought maybe they'll try to go out and get one of those type of young, athletic type of bigs. But
yeah,
the spacing, the shooting, it makes sense, right? Because the one thing that I know that the Celtics likes to do, they like to stretch the floor and space it out. And when you can shoot at all of the positions, it makes it harder to defend. And so he seems like he's the perfect fit. So I was probably looking for the best fit, but sometimes you don't go with the best. You got to find the perfect piece. And right now he's working. And I don't see any, I don't know how they're going to, I don't know how teams are going to try to defend what it is he's able to do. You're not going to see him dribble and try to score in the paint. But I like the rotation that they're going to be able to, you know, mix in. You can get your rim guy in, Rob Williams. Luke Kornet can get in there. They can get easy buckets at the rim. Luke is catching lobs now. And I think it's all due to the spacing. So it's going to be really cool to see what type of sets you'll see him out there on the floor with 2 bigs, 3 bigs. Like, you know, how they'll move him around in the rotation as well.
They've been doing some funky stuff with it so far. They had a lineup where they had Grant, Mike Muscala, and Luke Kornet out on the floor at the same time. And so it just gives them flexibility, right? And that 3-point shot, like, that's not fluky, man. Like, that is very legitimate. I think right now he's, I don't know what his percentage is on this year. I think it was close to 40%. Over the last 3 years, he's been shooting over 40% from three. And on his career, he's like a 38% shooter from deep. So that is a very real threat there in terms of three-point shooting. And the fact is we saw it a little bit in his first game. Like, defenses are going to collapse on guys like Jason Tatum if he's cutting to the hoop. And if Mike Muscala is waiting in that corner, ready to catch the shot and just immediately put it up, like, if he's able to hit that consistently, it just creates a whole lot more offense off of these, you know, these looks where he can play off ball. And considering what they, you know, had to give up to get him in terms of Justin Jackson, these 2 second rounders, like, I think it's a really, really solid pickup, especially for that cost. And I think he's checking all the boxes that you need for that kind of cost in terms of salary too. Like, it's not a Jakob Poeltl, so it's not like this big sexy name or anything like that. It's not like someone you're going to have to worry about paying in the offseason. He's cost controlled too. You got him for another year if you want him. So yeah, I really like the move. And I think so far it's been really good. I want to see how it pans out like going forward, but I'm interested to see how they mix him into these lineups. I think it's really cool that they started to use him with the double big.
Wayne, if you're a musician, have you heard his rapping?
Who's rapping?
Mike Muscala's rap.
No.
Oh, dude, it's so bad. It's so bad.
I got to check it out.
Just type it into YouTube now and play it. Play it by your phone so everybody can hear it. Like, it's
no, you
so
don't want to. Is it like copyrighted? I don't want
to. Nah, dude, it's like some trash. Like,
I think he did it as like a team promo thing, I'm pretty sure. It's pretty awful.
Can't have that as a promo. You're telling people not to turn up to the event?
I think it was a joke, but like, you know.
I didn't see the funny side of it. It was an insult to my ears, dude. Have you found it, Wayne?
I'm looking. His hidden talent?
Yeah.
Burning the midnight oil.
Got to burn the midnight oil.
Look, put it by the mic.
I am. Let me get this commercial offer. Is this where he was sitting being interviewed?
Nah, he's like rapping, like, you know, got a swagger with him.
Keep talking. I'm gonna find that joint, yo. Yo. I see him, Mike Muscala rap. Let's see if this is it.
Secret coming from Atlanta. Yeah. Stay screeching. I got 3 goals and I ain't talking about a hat trick. 1, win the championship. 2, make a smash it. 3, have a baby with my lady, then some grandkids. These other rappers shake, he Charles backswing. Trying to find the recipe, I call them plankton. The flow so appealing, best rapper in the league. Aw, oh, man, what a feeling. Showing y'all I can spit. What up, Shaq? Charles Curry, Penny, the Jet Smith.
What was that?
Yeah.
Your face for it, Wayne, was hilarious.
Oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got to rip this and do a reel. What was that? Like, the only thing I liked. I don't know. I don't know what I liked.
I liked when it ended. That's when I liked it. When it stopped.
I didn't even know he was ending it. The video just stopped. All right. Dude, I gotta come back and reevaluate that.
Oh man. All right, so moving.
He just needs to stick the 3-point shooting now.
Man.
He said, I'm gonna get with my wife and have some kids, bro.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's cool, but I don't know why you need to put that in a track.
That's my point. Like, why no one. Never mind.
Yeah, that's I don't understand why that needs to be in the track. All right, moving on. We got the last one. We'll keep this one short and sweet. Jason Tatum, the other day, everybody's seen the video by now, you know, clocked Jaylen Brown in the face with his elbow when they were going for a loose ball together. It wasn't malicious at all. Although I did see some people be like, yo, Jason Tatum didn't look like he cared. Well,
are you serious?
Yeah, I saw that. It was a thread on Reddit. But anyway, Tatum does this press conference. He's like, you know, I feel like I owe Jaylen Brown a car, something safe. You know, that's the type of apology I want to give. Jaylen Brown is like, okay, that's the least I can do, right? I feel like I need to buy him a car or something. The first time all season, me and him crash from the corner, I end up elbowing him in the face. Obviously, I feel terrible. It was a freak accident. But whether it's a mask or buying him a car, I think I got it. So that's what Tatum's saying. So the question I've got for y'all, let's see, I'll try and Americanize myself for you people. Y'all. The question I've got for y'all is, does Jason Tatum owe Jaylen Brown a car?
I mean,
like, he fractured his face accidentally.
I don't think he owes him a car because he fractured his face. I think he owes him a car because he said, I owe him a car.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You can't say that. Like, the cat's out of the bag. You open Pandora's box by suggesting that.
You get what
that.
I'm saying? You can't be back. I don't want to say these terms. We can't say stuff we used to say when we was growing up. So, you know, you can't be a blank giver. Like, you can't be like, yeah, man, I'm going to get you a car. And then when that person, whether you was joking or not, you got to make sure you declare that it's a joke at the very beginning. You know, because if not, then all hell could break. I got the clip too. So hold on. Let's see if it'll play. And it was Jaylen Brown said that he didn't believe him anyway.
Yeah, Jalen Brown's like, oh, he's lying. He's lying. He's not getting me a car. Yo, I'm still crying from laughing so hard, man.
About that process, but more so gonna buy you a car. He said he was gonna buy you a car. We talked to him about
that. No, nobody told me this.
No,
he said, right. We're telling you right now.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta cash in on that.
Yeah, he said it twice, actually.
Okay, cool.
So he said he said a single car.
I like that.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Jalen, how tough is it to sleep? How tough is it to kind of operate every day when your face is broken?
It's been, you know, it's been tough the last couple of days, but I'm about to get a car. Cool. Is it serious?
Yeah,
it's Prescott. Oh, okay. He's trying to
get a car. He's going to turn into a car.
They should be lying. So
he's right here.
Said, I'm getting a car, bro. He said, Jason Tatum, I'm getting a car.
Hey,
he lying. What do you do like this? He lying for sure.
Yo, that's so cool, man. Because I thought that Jaylen Brown was getting so much, like, I mean, I just didn't think they were going to keep Jaylen Brown. I thought they were going to try to trade him. The Kevin Durant story popped up. I didn't know if Jaylen still wanted to be here. I didn't know what was going on. But to hear this made me feel so much more at peace on that locker room and how those young men get along. You know what I'm saying? So that was a good press conference. That was before the game, but that was a good press conference.
I want to know what car it'd be. He said it's going to be a safe car. A Prius.
That was literally the first thing that came to my brain. Well, I was like, yeah, hey, a Prius.
A bulky face.
You can't fit in a Prius, yo.
Sorry, I broke your face. Here's a Prius.
Here's a Prius, dude. I mean, I'm not a Prius, and I don't think I'm fitting in a Prius.
Well, hang on. I think that you could get like a modified Prius.
Dude, I couldn't fit in your car.
Yeah, well, you know what? Have you ever heard the story about Wilt Chamberlain and the VW Beetle?
So I don't know the story, but I'm assuming they modified it. That's what I'm thinking.
So the modification that they made, this is what I've heard, is that they just took out the driver's seat because it's got a back seat, right? And he is so tall that he was able to like have his hands on the wheel and have him sitting in the back seat of the bug. And that's how he would drive it.
Wow. Out of all the cars that he could have driven.
I think it was like an advertisement thing. Okay. It's like Shaq and Nakia. Okay. I love the tweets about that. Where it's like, you know, you're too small for that car. The car's too small for you.
Oh, man. Okay, so we've gone way off the rails. We went off the rails when we had the Mike Muscala video, and that's my fault. I take
full. About the car? You asked about the car. I want to play the video about the car.
What car though? Like what car? I mean,
with the car.
Yeah, it's not breaks your face. Like if you've got a facial fracture, like you personally, and then they're like, "Yo, I'm gonna buy you a car." And the guy that said it,
you're gonna have to hit me up with.
Don't buy him a Tesla
or a Bugatti, man. I'm gonna need. You know, do I get the pick? You know what I'm saying? Because I think Tatum should just take him shopping.
I want a 67 Impala, man. If you're offering me any car, I want a 1967 Impala.
Candy paint? That's dope. I don't know if it's safe, but
well,
it ain't safe. Honestly,
I'll take any car from the 70s because they were made out of metal. So those cars were safe, much more safe than these fiberglass cars today. So I'm actually with them. Matter of fact, give me a Cadillac, that just in case somebody try to, you know, y'all saw the movies. Just give me a Cadillac, you know what?
and I want a yacht as well, just in case there's a zombie.
He said car. You can't ask for a yacht. See, now that's
okay. So now I want a duck boat. I'm changing my answer because that's
that is not a car.
It drives on the road and then it drives in the water. That is technically a vehicle. It's a car. Technically.
Okay. How many axles? Because that's what it's going to come down to when you go to the...
I'm not a mechanic, dude.
It's got like 6 axles at
least. So that's not a car.
It might have 8, actually.
That's definitely not a car.
It's a land aquatic vehicle type. It is not a car.
You go to the motor vehicle department.
It is like something much more than a car.
4 axles, 8 axles.
I'm pretty sure it's got like a lot of wheels on each side. I think it's 4 wheels on each side, minimum.
I never went on a duck boat when I was in
Boston. Yeah, well, next time you come, man.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do that time either because it's cold as hell. That water's going to be iced.
Oh, no, not like that. Not that soon.
All right, then, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Wayne, man, I'm so happy to have you on the show.
This was fun.
This was fun. As always, it's been a pleasure, my hombre. Everybody watching, make sure to go smash that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. Hit that thing. And we'll be back again on Friday, y'all. Friday, not too far away. Deuces.
Cheers.